expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 120, all stanzas. Psalm 120, all stanzas.
Thank you.
The scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. But first we have to confess our faith by the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons far from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. And even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. And let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and shew us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, and they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. And I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shewed, when there was no strange God among you. And therefore ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in mighty waters, which bringeth forth and the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as thou. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? And I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. And the beast of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. And this people have I formed for myself, they shall shew forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. The first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. And therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray together. O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast gathered us together around thy word again. And what a blessing may it be for us to hear thy word in freedom, but let it be to our salvation. And may the preaching be with anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then will be the fruit for thee, O Lord. And give us ears to hear and a heart to remark what thou hast to say to us. O Lord, we need thee, but make thyself necessary and make room for thyself in our hearts, because there is no room in our hearts by nature for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. But thou hast to speak, and it will happen that enemies become friends, that the ungodly become reconciled by the precious blood of Christ. O Lord, increase thy kingdom among us. It is so silent in our days, but thou art still the same, today and yesterday. Be with the Jewish people, bring them on their knees to cry thee for forgiveness. O that we may see the peace of Jerusalem, according to thy promise. And we pray for the widows and the orphans and for the widowers. O Lord, give them what they need for time and eternity. Be with us in speaking and listening. Open thy word for our hearts and our hearts for thy word. O Lord, we pray for all the afflicted people, for our children who are in need, O Lord, that we need not a lot of help in need, but that we may feed thee with a child fearness. O Lord, that we may fear thee because of regeneration, because of justification, because of Christ, because thou art so worthy, O Lord, to be praised. And give us that grace also under the preaching, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, the text of our preaching you can find in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. And where it is written, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And that is the text of our preaching. And beloved, a couple weeks ago we have preached the same text in Dutch, but I have to preach it again for you, because of the unsearchable riches of Christ and the precious mercy of Christ for a lost sinner. And in the text we have a record of salvation. It is an account of one who had an infirmity, a physical infirmity. Yeah, it is strong legs that can carry the wealth, huh? And we fell altogether in high-mindedness, and this woman had to bear the consequence of her deep fall in Adam. But she was in a real conviction, in a way of real conviction, and in a way of real conviction, the consequences of sin are not the cause of fear anymore. The cause of fear of a convicted sinner is the sin itself. Because sin is an attack against the Holy One. And this afflicted woman was a child of Adam. She knows that very well. But she was unable to deliver herself from this evil spirit. But in a moment of time, and that's the eternal wonder in the life of this woman, in a moment of time, the Lord Jesus, the dear Son of God, restored this woman to normal being again, and delivered her from that infirmity. But I'm sure, beloved, there is in this account far more than the Lord Jesus healing one's physical infirmities. And I have already said so in the Dutch sermon, but with the help of the Lord, I will underline it again, and also to consider the price that Christ had paid for it. And I believe we have here a spiritual account of one who was afflicted over a period of 18 years with sin. So, that's a long time, 18 years. But the number of years doesn't matter. Though it is recorded here that for 18 years this woman had the infirmity, but what is so wonderful, what so outstanding is, that Jesus was first to approach her with regard to deliverance from this great infirmity she had. And there is something here that was settled before she was born, and how precious this is. Not the thought, but the knowledge that a sinner bound up with infirmity, an infirmity in soul, wretched and undone, and a period of years matters not, but it has been settled in eternity past that Jesus will come. And in his coming will open up that there is no need for ability in man. For we find recorded in this account of this woman that she could not, that she could in no wise lift up herself. And neither can a sinner, he cannot lift himself out of the ruin of the fall, cannot alter his lost condition, cannot deliver himself from the state that each one find himself in, walking with the prodigal son. For it says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So, there is no help in self. The sinner cannot put matters right. He cannot put the matter straight. Even as this poor woman could not do it. But Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. How can it be? So, beloved, I hope the Lord is in this, as we have read this account of a poor woman in her physical disability, in which she had been over that long number of years, in which she could not help herself and nobody could help her. And then Jesus appeared, and he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And what the Lord Jesus is saying, that happens. His words are deeds. And how rich the grace of the Lord Jesus, that in that eternal day gone by he saw individuals to be found not in a state of infirmity like this, but the leprosy that was deep within, contaminating every part of one's nature, and in the richness of his grace, he went into that full agreement with the Father and the Eternal Spirit, that he would make a way for them, he would deliver them, knowing that they could not deliver themselves, could not make themselves straight. A cracked, wrenched condition they were in, and he would come to them and open up to them his own precious word of truth, which remains to the end of time. For it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. How wonderful, huh? How wonderful. How wonderful, beloved, that Jesus should condescend to look down from the heights of glory ere time began, and look down upon that which as yet was not formed, the earth having no form, and man not created, but in his eternal mind he saw a people and loved the people, and eternally decreed that each one of those should be delivered from that dreadful condition they would find themselves in when they came into the world in the appointed time. And what I want to ask you, beloved, are you amongst these people? For this dear woman gave evidence that she honored the precious Jesus, for it is recorded she glorified God. And I feel there is such a need be, as we set out these wonderful things of the gospel to show the wonderful way God has ordained salvation shall be brought about, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That is, no man touches the purposes of God. And he comes to one here and on there and says with divine power, sinner, thou art hellbound. And he says, look unto me, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. So, the Lord Jesus here came to that poor woman, and he was the one to work. He was the one to work, not man. He touches her. And oh, this precious Jesus, do you know him? Do you know him? Has he touched you? Yeah, there is a need again and again to ask ourselves, is it real? For time is passing swiftly, eternity is on the wing, and there is no change there. And when you and I come to that place of laying down this body, it will be to enter an eternal day. a solemn concern. Heaven or hell? So many today prefer to talk about heaven, even religious people, but how short we can come. We shall come short, friends, unless it has been Jesus who came first, who began the work. Yeah, the devil is quite satisfied to have religious people settle down and be satisfied with the things they have been brought up in, and feel. It's all right, and I've got a religion, and men look at me and feel I am all right. But it will not do my hearers. We need a religion that will stand the oppressions of the enemy, a religion that will stand the oppressions of our wicked hearts, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is the word says. It will battle against God. Yeah, I have met people who have said, I don't go that way. I have always been brought up in the right things. I don't disbelieve the word of God. Yeah. The Pharisees are saying the same. Eh? Religious Pharisees. Eh? How solemn to be left to self, to feel everything is right. The Lord God meets with his dear people and he stops them. He convinces them of their sin. He makes them plead for mercy. And they find his grace. They find grace in his sight. Forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. And how you come that way? He makes himself known in healing power. As he did with this poor woman. He gives them to know that what peace is. That peace that passed all understanding. Yeah, the world don't know it. Do you? The religious world don't know it either. To have religion without possession of grace is a solemn condition. And this is to know Jesus then, as this precious man came to this poor woman, calling her to him, and saying unto her, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. So Jesus comes to his people and he says to their lost souls, fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. We have read it in Isaiah 43. Yeah? And have you got that in your heart, beloved? There is a need for it, for it is the seal to heaven. Unless Jesus by his blessed Spirit has revealed to you and me that he has redeemed us through blood, there will be no heaven for us, no salvation. And our religion will die as we die unless there be a saving knowledge in time by faith that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. So, here is the foundation, beloved. And that is God in his love towards a people sent his own dear son into this lower world, so that everyone set aside by time, by a triune Jehovah, to be his people throughout time and throughout eternity to come, should have knowledge of salvation with an assurance, and that assurance, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, to be able to say, my Jesus has done all things well. Can you come in? We are entering now, beloved, upon experience of faith. I get so cast down from time to time about this. And you can have knowledge in your head, the doctrines in your head. But you will need to have it in your heart. and to be able to say, a kind and gracious God has not dealt with me after my sins, but he has placed me among his people, loved with an everlasting love. And he has given me to know a precious Jesus. He is all my salvation. Is it too much for you? It is not too much for the people of God. Why? Because they know the pathway of this poor woman. Yeah. Again, I say she had the physical troubles. Eh? The people of God have heart troubles. Now she too. And Jesus cured a physical infirmity in that poor woman. His precious atoning blood does cure in the spiritual infirmities of his dear people, in that he puts their sins away as far as the east is from the west, never to be seen again, never to remember again. But in the time state they feel that affliction. They are often bowed down, they often come into those places where they have no ability to lift themselves up and cannot get out of darkness, cannot raise themselves above the earth, cannot pray. And Jesus comes. Do you know him, sinner? There must be intimate knowledge of him. To know Jesus in the head will not do any good. But the children of God are found among the people to whom the Lord has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Yeah, I hear some people say that they have received such a nice promise, eh? But this is also a promise, eh? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Yeah, that's a remark of the life of grace. And the people of God are found among that people of whom he has said, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor woman, a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Do you belong to that people? Eh? Do you belong to that afflicted and poor people who shall trust in the name of the Lord? That's not a maybe. Oh. Justification happens not in a hidden corner, not in a hidden place. And justification makes not proud people, but poor and afflicted. But they are rich in Christ. So they find from time to time they have need of mercy. Again and again they do not come into that place to rest in it, to settle down in it, where they say, I am in an awful condition and I don't deserve it. But they are found from time to time while there may have been that rebellious spirit in this place. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I am undeserving, Lord, of the least of thy mercy. But without thee I must perish. Yeah. And Jesus comes. Have you had a visit from him, beloved? Yeah, I remember some years ago I visited. Yeah, we call her Aunt Lena. Eh? Aunt Lena. Yeah, and we visited her so many times when she was alive. For she was a very experienced woman in spiritual things. Experienced of faith. And she had much communion with Christ. It had been through much affliction. But she knew him as the friend of sinners. She knew him as that gracious high priest who lives to make intercession, and she found him to be one who came from time to time in her troubles and whispered peace. She was a very experienced woman in faith, And I spoke to her not only face to face, but heart to heart. And we have got to know him, got to know him in that personal way. He must be to us Jesus, the anointed Savior. He must be that one who we know as Emmanuel, God with us. The very man Christ Jesus, yet the Almighty God, able to do all things. Do you know him, beloved? Do you know him by faith? Do you know him in a way of justice? However, Christ is willing, is a willing Savior for lost sinners. And there was a poor man recorded in the Gospel who had leprosy, and he said to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst me make clean. Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, in his great compassion, said, I will, be thou clean. But he touched him, and that is what he does to his dear people, as in the case before us of this poor woman with her physical disability. He touched her. So he touches his dear people in heart, and he breaks their hearts. He brings them into that place of sweet love to himself. He softens their hearts. And this is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is that precious man who is able to save the utmost all that plead with a holy God through his dear name, Jesus, the friend of sinners. Now in our chapter in Isaiah 43 that we have read together, I read this chapter with one purpose in view. It records the character, the spiritual character, as we read of this one in her natural troubles, healed by a precious Jesus. So the chapter we read together records the same character, utterly contaminated with sin, unable to lift oneself above the earth, unable to do anything towards one's salvation. And the Lord speaks through his servant to this character and says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. But as I have read this so many times, and no doubt you have too, it is a light to the next verse. You cannot separate them, beloved. When you pass it through the waters, I will be with thee. And this character will know what affliction is. While that poor woman was delivered from her physical disability, the Lord Jesus does it for his people with their spiritual disabilities, also for this woman. And it comes time and again in the time state with those who are found in Christ. It comes because there is a battle between two armies. Battle. And in the battle is continued by a wicked heart, a ruined nature, and a tendency towards self-management, not leaning upon God, upon this Jesus. So there will be, while you journey through this life, a need to have the confirmation of this word, I have redeemed thee. For it is certain, if he has redeemed thee, washed thee in his precious blood, foreknown thee in eternity past, a chosen vessel of mercy, there will be a fulfillment of the second verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And you will have the evidence, that sweet assurance that it is well with you. Do you understand that? That is what is needed today, beloved. And there is still remains the great adversary, Satan, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it comes extremely close. Jesus said, you will not know the difference until the harvest, when the tares are separated from the wheat. They grow together. And I have evidence in my own experience that these things are true. And I cannot understand them. But they make me fear from time to time, for I remember an occasion in my life when I met a woman who made a very deep profession amongst us as a people, but she left us. It looks by all appearances that it was not life but death that was in her. How close it comes. Oh, the need to be right. So, beloved, there is a need of a personal experience to be able to say in one soul before once God, thou art my Jesus, and thou knowest I love thee. Can you come in? For the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And that being so, His dear people are safe for time and for eternity. The people of God pass through many changes, but not one of them will bring them to a place of utter ruin, black despair. From time to time there will be the realization that one is helpless in themselves, unable to take another step. And they may well be fierce, the same fears as David had, of one Dave falling by the hand of Saul. But never to be found there, except in one's fears in self. For this God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. Now the blessed character who has this hope in his heart that he is washed in the blood of the Lamb. And have you any evidence, sinner? What is the evidence? Oh, it is easy to say I'm a sinner. It is easy to say. Yes, I believe the word of God and the many records there, that the man is ruined in the fall. The children of God are brought to the place to know the Lord speaks to them in their hearts, thou art a man, and then he brings them to plead for mercy and proof. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And what is the foundation for this? Over and above a poor man's words. Now, it is found in the chapter we have read, in Isaiah 43, for the Lord says of this people, I am he that blotted out thy transgression of mine own sake, for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. But he gives a foundation for this. Again, we have the printed word, but there is a foundation whereby there is an experience of this truth. For the Lord says, put me in remembrance. And the child of God comes to that place from time to time. Lord, I am utterly ruined. I do not know how to go on. Save me. Deliver me from this darkness. But there are times when the enemy comes in, like a flood, and when he has such power over the children of God that they fall. And the Lord chases them. They are found in darkness. But they prove those precious words of Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And they walk in experience of it. There's reality. And the Lord must appear, or they will sink under the trial, the darkness that is found in their hearts, the power of Satan as he clings to their black like a leech, it forces them to cry, God help me. And it is there they put him in remembrance. He takes notice of that remembrance. And his dear people now look to him for mercy, and the plea is for Jesus' sake. And he looks upon his own word. I am he that blotted out thy transgression for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. And the Lord brings deliverance. And I know, beloved, these are deep living realities in the experience of the children of God. But everyone shall know them. Can you come in? For there remains eternity. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now blessed rest, that remaineth. And Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And it is for a people who are kept by the power of God, a blessed people. And are you among them, beloved? Are you among them? Tried often, but you know the way of Peter again. He says, where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The Lord says to his disciples, do you want to leave me too, like this people? Do you want to leave me? Now Peter says, where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And have you been there? But there is a certainty, if these things are part of your experience, that day will come when Jesus will bring you into the fullness of the text. As he delivered that poor woman immediately from the condition in which she had been for 18 years, he will deliver you from this condition that you have been in since birth, washed in the blood of the Lamb, swallowed up in Christ forever. And that day is coming, sinner, delivered from the perishing things of time, delivered from the many, many changes, delivered from the darkness that often takes hold of you, delivered from the temptations of the evil one, who says, where is now thy God? And this word, then, I feel it is a wonderful word. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, can you find your character here? Can you look back to a day of unregeneracy? And we would continue to bring it close, beloved, for the children of God to have a day of unregeneracy. And the day of unregeneracy, with a good number of them, was spent in the house of God, brought up under the sound of the truth, brought up in a family that loved the Lord, that feared the Lord. Yet a day of unregeneracy, because they had but the letter of truth in their heads. Do you have been there? Have you? The Lord Jesus delivered this poor woman. Has he delivered you from that? Has he brought you into that understanding, that sweet knowledge, that he is not only able to save to the uttermost, but also reality, saving your soul, and you, the vilest sinner out of hell, have lived to feel your need? And the meaning of those words
the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need, to feel his need, beloved, he is one the Lord has kept from condemnation and opened his eyes to see his need of mercy, lead him to Christ. And now he affirms the mercy seat is still open. And the precious atoning blood of Jesus answered every plea, and he gives that sinner an application of the righteousness of Christ. That is the true experience of faith. And this poor woman, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And when the Lord Jesus comes to his dear people to deliver him from that day of unregeneracy, to bring them into the life and light of himself, to open up to them that salvation is of the Lord, he tells them he loves them with an everlasting love. And have you known this way? He comes to them when they are found in that condition of need, convinced of sin under the power of his Spirit. In reality of their need of mercy and of a precious Christ to unfold unto them that he loves them, that he has brought them with his own heart's blood. And they are brought really to feel they cannot deliver their souls themselves. It is then that he comes and lays his hand on them and says, I love thee well, my child. He breathes into their hearts, fear not, for I am with thee. And he tells them he will never leave them nor forsake them. And what happens? Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. That's the fruit of justification. And as he conveys these precious truths into their hearts, there is peace with God immediately. You have been there? Can you look back to a day when the Lord did bless your soul and save your soul in your deep condemnation, in your deep fall? Yeah, I met someone just recently who was looking back and who said, oh, that I had the peace that I had on that day of deliverance. The children of God know what it is to stand complete in him when Jesus comes and makes them whole. And what does it bring forth? They glorify God as she did, as that woman did. They set him on high. King Jesus, my Jesus, my Lord, my God, my salvation, my Redeemer, precious Jesus, lovely Jesus. Can you come in? Thomas break through in faith. Oh, my dear Lord, my God. How many today consider these things to be but sentiment? Where do you stand? There is nothing comparable to the love of Jesus. There is nothing to satisfying to a sinner in his time of need as to prove experimentally that a precious Christ stands in the breach, that he is able to plead with God the Father what he has done for his dear people, that he laid down his life that they might live forever in heaven with him. So, it says she glorified God. She still do it. And oh, there will be many changes when the Lord bring his people out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. The battle begins. And it was just the same with the children of Israel as he brought them out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage. And they were in the battle immediately. It opened at the Red Sea, and then 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness. And there were many changes, but many times they glorified God. For he showed them, he fed them, and he fought their battles for them. He gave them that precious promise, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And he gave them to know the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So he promised them the battle was not theirs, but God's. And they entered into Canaan at last. So will you, saved sinner. Oh, how sweet the words. There I shall see his face and never, never sin. And from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Now swallowed up on the love of Christ forever, there will be no more crooks in the lot there, sinner. No more death, no more sin, no more sorrow. But you will see Jesus face to face. There is no fate anymore. No. And it will be true then, beloved. I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness, one with Christ forever. And here you will be tossed about often, but he will overcome at last a living Jesus. Do you know him, sinner? Do you know him? For that woman, it is reality what is written in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price." And we will consider these words for a moment. Jesus has paid the price for this woman. "For ye are bought with a price." And that was the reason that she glorified God. The price is so high, beloved, so high. And that is the cause that grace is free. You cannot pay for it. "For ye are bought with a price." It is a short text, but what an experience it contains. There is salvation in it. It is yours, beloved. Real religion comes very close. It will be very solemn if you and I come to the end of life's journey and find our religion is a false one. And how solemn, beloved, to sit in the house of God from time to time and be resting on a false foundation. There is but one way in the living things. It is Christ, the rock of eternal ages. But it will be more than a name to a saved sinner. It will be something that he lives by. The words "for ye are bought with a price" contains the sufferings of this precious man, the Lord Jesus Christ. How seldom do we hear his sufferings mentioned in these days? How often do we meditate upon them? And what do they mean to us, my friends? The sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, man and God. And this glorious person suffered in a body such as you and I have, but a suffering of such intensity that the human mind cannot understand. That he who was and is the eternal Son of God should come into this lower world in the body of a human nature, to enter into that intensity of suffering
for a purpose, and not to gain something for himself, but to save sinners who had ruined themselves and cut themselves off completely from mercy, the mercy which can be found only in Christ. And Jesus came into this lower world fully knowing what he would enter into. And he came because he loved you, did he? Do you really belong to God's people, my beloved? That is the point. I tell you not on history. These are the word of salvation. And it is the day of salvation. Now. And he certainly came because he loved the people. And they were a chosen people. It was not by chance. And they were a people foreseen in the eternal mind of the Father. A people who were loved by the Father ere they were given to the Son, but given they were in eternity past, and love that passes all human understanding caused him to come to this lower world to suffer, bleed, and die. Can you understand this? A people, the chosen people, is there any exercise, beloved? And we hear this many times. Are we exercised? Is it real exercise? Not something you are exercised with just while you are within these walls, but something you take home with you, something that sometimes take you into your closet and your closed door. So, your soul is then in communication with the living God. Is it? Is that your exercise? Is that your experience? Lord, how do I stand before thee? What is my hope built on? Have I a real religion? Art thou my God? Dost thou love me? Do I love thee? Real things. Real religion. You will have to have it, beloved, or else you will go to hell. And there are only two ways, the broad and the narrow way. There's not a third way. And how solemn these things are. Huh? How seldom do we hear them spoken about. Why? Because man has no heart for them. For the most part he is satisfied with the dying things of this world. His eyes are closed. We are blind by nature. A mercy indeed if yours are opened. And it will be a great mercy if you have that continual exercise before your God. Where will my soul spend eternity? For these people who are exercised about such things and are found often at the mercy seat seeking for a revelation, seeking that the Lord will go before them in all the journey through, that he will watch over their path, that he will undertake for them every step of the way. These people come within the words, for ye are bought with a price. Oh, that the Lord would help us for a few moments that we might consider the price. This precious man, the God-man, the eternal Son of God in the bosom of the Father, throughout eternity past in complete harmonious unity, a three-one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And before man was created, he was in the bosom of the Father. But because of that love which passed all understanding, because he was determined to have a people with him throughout eternity to come, a people who should be his church, his body, his bride,
He came into this lower world, born of the Virgin Mary. He came not with the fine things of a great house, not clothed in rich clothing, not full of the comforts of this world could give, but lain in a manger, and harassed of the devil and his agents from his birth. He knew these things, beloved, such love. And do you ever ponder on that? The love of the Son of God to sinners consigned of death, if he be not their advocate before the Father, and if he be not the mediator for them, if he be not their salvation. Oh, such love, a determination of the part of the Son of the Most High God to come in the form of man in this way, to be laid in a manger, and then to grow up as he did. And we don't know much of the early part of his life, but when he began to preach, he was harassed on every hand by those who hated him. And then he was brought ultimately to that solemn place, the cross. And how many times do we hear of the cross, the sufferings of the Christ on Calvary? How often does it cause us grief? The Son of God as man, see him before Pilate, see him standing as one to be found guilty. Pilate, his judge, to solemnity of it, beloved. The Son of the Most High God, yet in such a humiliated position, standing before man to be judged by a man as a criminal, to be put to death. How solemn! And have you ever considered it? Can you see him just for a moment, mentally standing before Pilate, being accused by the multitude, and answering not a word to his accusers? The humility of the manhood of Christ. Is there any comparison anywhere with such gracious, holy humility as was found in Christ before Pilate? And see him taken out. Pilate endeavored to defend him, for he could find no fault in him. And see him taken out to be whipped, that dreadful scourging. I was reading a little today about it, and I read in one account that those days they were in the habit of using whips with small bones of animals tied to the end of the tongues, and they were used as scourges. And the dreadful agonies of the body to dear Redeemer must have suffered at the hands of sinful men. And he was scourged. And they come to the soldiers. And then come to the soldiers. Again, I was reading there was probably about 500 soldiers amongst whom he was thrown. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as man, was handed to those dreadful soldiers to do as they would with him, to make sport of him. And we read that they took his garments from him and dressed him up in purple. And they spat upon him, that precious Jesus. And they bowed the knee before him in mock humility. And they took him to the cross. See him again, that precious man, nailed upon the cross. Those dreadful nails driven through his hands and his feet. And then the horrors, when they took up the cross and stood in it, that hole. And how it must have shaken to whole of his name, the horrors and the solemn sufferings that he went through in his body. For ye are bought with a price. And he hung upon that cursed tree for 3 hours. And what must have passed through even in bodily agonies?
how do you say it, agonies. But during that time, God the Father took away from him his felt presence. That darkness was in his soul, and he endured the agonies of mind, the Son of God. For ye are bought with the price. Now, are you among this blessed family, my dear congregation, for whom he groaned, bled, died, and rose again? Yeah, it's mercy. It's free mercy. But these people he was determined to save, the cost he knew, and that which he came to do, he fulfilled. He completed the work his Father gave him to do. And see again, as he hung upon the accursed tree, that which was offered to him when he thirsted. Vinegar was given to him, and we understand that when they crucified men, they often gave them a drink that had something in it to numb their feelings. And very likely there was something in what was offered to the Lord Jesus on the cross. But he refused it after tasting it. He was determined to fulfill the whole law. He satisfied infinite justice, agonizing for sin. And what was it, your sin, beloved? Was it mine? He groaned out on that tree in agony of mind. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was the man groaning, the manhood of Christ, but oh, the preciousness of it all. He cried out too with a loud voice, it is finished. It was a cry of a victor. He had brought in an everlasting salvation for a people. And are you amongst them, beloved? Am I? For ye are bought with a price. And these people are taught they are sinners. Have you been? These people know they are sinners. Do you know it? These people continue to be sinners. Do you? But they are also taught to grieve. Have you been? These people who are a separate people, a peculiar people, an elected people, a chosen people, blessed people, for they know how to pray. Do you? And there is an experience with these people. It is not something they read. They are taught by the blessed Spirit. They walk in the pathway given to them by the living God. And it is a pathway not by chance. It is a pathway appointed for them. Appointed by a triune Jehovah ere they were born. And this is a pathway, beloved, they must walk in alone. And they will walk in it by themselves, and with no helpmate other than the living God in Christ. Is a pathway of darkness very often. Do you know anything of these things, beloved? The Lord Jesus died for his people. He lives for them now and sits on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for them. And there is a communication, a living communication between him and his people by his blessed spirits leading in indicted prayer. Now, dear congregation, do you know anything of that by faith? These people do not like just words. They want heartfelt communications. Is that your desire? They are forced to the mercy seat sometimes by circumstances. Have you ever been there? These people groan within themselves. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Turn toward me, Lord, and smile again. You ever been there? And these people live because Christ had said to them, I live, and ye shall live also. Now when that is spoken to your lost soul, then you live with Christ, then you live in Christ, then you are regenerated, then you are justified as an ungodly. The world is dead, but this people live in Christ. Do you? And there are a blessed people, but it is not an easy way. They are an afflicted and poor people, we have read. Afflicted in circumstances, sometimes. Afflicted in body, sometimes. Afflicted in soul, often. Do you amongst these people? These people, beloved, they know the precious Jesus. They sometimes praise him, for he blessed their souls. And is there one amongst us in this evening hour who longs to find this Jesus for his own? One who by himself, having shut himself up, has said, give me Jesus or else I die. Now wait for Jesus, my soul, because he is waiting for you. When you are lost, totally lost. And you know it is a solemn day in which we live. And it is a day when religion for the most part is not very good. There is much form of religion. And the world is fast hastening to hell. But how many of you believe that? And we look on every hand and we see men doing for the most part as he will do. And we find the governments of our days adjust to the people of our days for the most part. It needs but a continual cry for this or that. And ultimately, there is a law passed to make it legal. But does it make it legal before the Lord? Does it make sin right because Health Minister Klink has said it is all right to do it? How much morality have we in the world today? Not that morality will take us to heaven, but how much morality is there? It is not wrong to be moral. But the law is quite satisfied as long as things are kept underneath, in a good many cases. A solemn day to live in. An infinite mercy to have a cry before the Lord, save me or I perish. An infinite mercy, as we see all things round about us, to seek the Lord, that he will keep us from being carried about with the rest down the highway to hell. And do we know the way, beloved, the way of prayer, for ye are bought with a price. Now Christ has bought the afflicted woman, his people, with his own life's blood. And he will not lose one of them. And if you are among this people, beloved, settled in eternity in the covenant of grace, and bought with that price of precious redeeming blood, no matter what the time state holds for you, no matter what your trials are, and what your fears are, no matter what your sins are, because you shall see his face in that day of change. And never sin anymore, but only rivers of grace. But first we will sing Psalm 46, verse 2. Psalm 46, verse 2. There is a river which is bringing to God's own city joy and singing. The holy house of God Most High is in her midst. He hears her cry. And what follows? Psalm 46, verse 2.
River which is free.
you will have to walk through this time state. And for the most part it will be tribulation. So, it's not an easy way. And do you know the way at all, my friends? Would you change it? You who are in the thorny pathway now, would you give up your little hope for all the comforts this world can give you? For you are bought with a price. Christ sees every one of his living family. They are sealed in his heart. He sees everyone in all their trials and afflictions, and he sympathizes with them. He has a human, compassionate heart. Perhaps there are some here saying, but my way is so difficult, preacher. I groan so often at the mercy seat, and I will seem to get no deliverance. Now, because he does not deliver you now, does not mean you will be destroyed, sinner. Have you a God who will leave you because you are in trial? Has he never helped you in the past? Have you never said that he will give you daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise? And why do you doubt him now? Because you are a sinner. And that is why, because you have a wicked, unbelieving heart, and because it will never be changed in the time state, because you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, because you are unclean throughout. And this is the reason I preach to myself too. I do not stand outside these things. I want the Lord to convince me of them more often. And how I dread being left in that place, holier than thou. And that would be a solemn place, because you and I are full of sin, sold under sin, that we cannot take hold of him, his preciousness, his righteousness, his all sufficiency, his great salvation to our comfort, his all, his great mercy to us as lost sinners, his all sufficiency. If we had more faith, cast, he says, on me thy care. It's enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear, and I will all thy needs supply. Why? Because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee even unto this place, poor sinner. And this place where you are full of trouble and sorrow and fear and death in yourself, because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and I will never leave thee and nor forsake thee. I have brought thee with a price. I have bought thee with a price. Now, dear congregation, the dear Redeemer hanging on the Calvary's tree, and not one of them that he has bought with a price shall be plucked out of his hand, not out of his Father's hand. A precious Jesus is this God man, but is he precious to you? Do you find, as you journey on through this life, one trouble set against another? You will not find peace for long. And there is peace only in him, an everlasting peace. And because you and I have such a sinful nature, such a sinful inclinations, we shut them out from ourselves again and again. We turn away from our peace and from our mercy, because we will go our own way. Look at Jonah. That is my inclination. Is it yours? Paul said,
I am totally flesh, sold under sin.
Is it your experience?
Yeah, only too well do I realize it is mine. He comes, this precious man, and delivers from sin, but then we turn again and we walk in our own ways, and he hides his face, though he loves us with an everlasting love that he will never alter. He shows his hatred of our sin by hiding his face from us to our discomfort. But having bought you with the price, sinner, he will bring you back again. He will. And he is determined that you shall endure to the time and be saved. Now, blessed people then, eh? Are you among them? This is the concern, again and again. Am I right? Is my name in the Lamb's book of life? Have I been mistaken? Oh, solemn place to be in. If we are, that we shall not be mistaken while there is a cry of faith in the heart. Lord, help me. And that is the reality when the poor sinner comes to the ends of the earth and says to the Lord, I cannot pray, Lord, help me. Have you been there? Do you tell him you do not know what you say to him? Ever said, Lord, thou knowest just where I am. Do have mercy upon me. And you have such a case, you cannot put it into words. And what a mercy that the Lord foresaw his people in all their sins, their trials, their tribulations, and made a way for them. The mercy seat gave them that infinite mercy of calling upon his great and holy name through his own dear Son, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you will find access with the living God as you plead a precious Christ, and if you cannot plead him in any great way, you can say again, people of God, Lord, help me. You remember Peter on the waves, who pleaded with him, Lord, help me. Now what a prayer of faith. It flies on the wings of faith. It is washed in the precious redeeming blood. It finds access in the inner sanctum, right into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. It goes and answers. Of peace flow down. Yeah. They must, for Jesus lives, and that is your mercy. Jesus lives, for ye are bought with a price. Can he lose one of them? Perhaps a poor child of God say, but he won't be losing me because I am not sure that I am one of them anymore. What a temptation. And you know the devil tries again and again to distress the people of the living God, and he brings them into places of doubt. But he does not appear to realize that as he brings them into doubt by telling them they have no hope, he drives them to the mercy seat to find out. Yeah. The Lord often turns these things round advantage of his people. And what an advantage it is as you are brought loud through doubts and fears to seek him at the mercy seat, who only can satisfy your soul. For what good would it do to you, sinner, if you could be satisfied with what I tell you? You want it sealed in your heart by the living God. You want him to say to you, it is well, my child. That is it, isn't it? If the Lord speaks, it will be well, for he cannot deny himself. Now, what a mercy this is, sinner.
If ever he has spoken a word of life to your lost soul, he will never deny it. Never.
Having begun a good work, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
And if ever he has given you a hope in his mercy, he will never deny that sinner.
He will continue with you. And I'm speaking about a hope of faith, eh? Not an hope in our language.
No. No, that is not sure. But he will continue with you.
And though the enemy again and again comes in like a flood, he will raise up a standard against him.
Precious redeeming blood. And it answers every case.
There might be one here saying, but my sins are so black.
Now the vilest sinner out of the hell, yeah, we read of Manasseh, don't we? We read of Mary, and we read of the thief upon the cross, the murder on the cross. And read it again. And as the Lord helps you, meditate upon it. Plead for it. Plead on it. The dying thief, how near he was to eternity, what must his life have been? We have no record of it, but at first he abused the Lord Jesus too, sneered at him with the thief on the other side of him, but then the Lord saved him. And he accepted his punishment. And seemingly at the very end of all this, of all things, at the last minute, one might say, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Now what a salvation. What a salvation. What a justification of the godly. Precious redeeming blood for a lost sinner.
And do you know it anything of it, beloved? It is to be known. All the peace that enters into the soul when the Lord appears, when he sprinkles that precious redeeming blood over the conscience, when he gives a knowledge of forgiveness of sins. Do you know anything of it? And you will not be satisfied to have it once, although it will be all sufficient for the Lord having loved you once with love forever. But for your comfort, you will need a daily salvation, a daily comfort. You will need a daily washing, fresh cleansing in that precious blood. For you will turn again. An after application of the fresh cleansing blood of that precious person, Jesus. And you know, do you know it in experience? You will need him again to smile upon you, to bless your soul. That is the life of grace. A living soul cannot do without comfort, cannot live without comfort, without the smile of Jesus. He is precious. He is precious too on a dying bed. It will come to that one day, perhaps soon. And none of us knows how long we shall lie on such a bed. He will be precious then. And precious when he receives you on the other side of the Jordan. Now something to look forward to, isn't it? Now perhaps one says, I am in the prime of life, or in the early day of life, and you talk about death. Now my friend, death may come tonight. Prepare me, gracious God. Pray. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. The Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And it will be a mercy if that is our hope in Christ, beloved, for the Lord to prepare us now, for who can tell when the call may come. And if we hear His voice in our soul by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can hear it with ears of faith. And if He has ever spoken to us a word of life, a word of forgiveness, a word of promise in our lost soul, that is the preparation. And you and I will need the comfort again and again, a fresh touch of His love, another lift out of the death that is in ourselves. But it will not alter the fact that if ever He has spoken a word of life to you, if He cuts you down, as in a moment, the preparation has already been made. And you will go straight to glory. And Peter says to this people that they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that is a sweet word, ready to be revealed. That it is prepared, that there is nothing to be done, nothing to be added to this salvation. It is prepared for everyone of those that were found in Christ in covenant engagement in eternity past. And what is your hope based on? Have you a hope in Christ, beloved, the good one? The Lord knows everyone here tonight. Our being gathered together, it is very solemn, because we are gathered together in His courts. It does not make us chosen vessel of mercy. We need to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. Diligence is a blessed word. We cannot come to it in ourselves. This salvation, the salvation of the Lord Jesus for His people, belongs to an elect people. And everything is done for them, even this diligence. And that is the mercy of it. For if you were left of to yourself, you could not seek, could you? But He does everything for His people. He brings them to the place of extreme need, and where they have to know, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, it will not alter the fact, I know, however much we call, if one is outside the election of grace, there will be no answer. But then there would not be that diligence. Diligence belongs only to those who are chosen in Christ. And do you know how you stand in your soul before the Lord? Do you? I said once from the pulpit, and it was disputed, but I say it again, a soul knows whether it is a hypocrite or not. And you know in your own soul whether you plead with the Lord in truth or not. Do you? You know whether there is a living faith with you, that the Lord shall be all your salvation. And I believe a hypocrite is a hypocrite before man, not before God. How do you stand? What is your plea? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And that is a living plea of a living soul, one bought with the price. And here is the mercy of it, my friends. Though the enemy again and again endeavors to wrest from you and your hope, he will never be able to do it. And if you are one of this living family for the Lord Jesus, bought this people with His own precious blood. And I am convinced that He looks forward to that day when they shall be gathered together with Him in glory, one triumphant church. And not one shall be left behind. No. In Dutch we said, er zal geen klauw achterblijven. No. He will watch over your soul. And then poor people in Christ, but you are rich in Him. And though the enemy and endeavors to destroy it, he will never be able to do it. And your soul is precious to the Lord, even
as he has precious to you, living soul, and that is who I speak to. For this gospel, he said before, you will not come to us unless the Spirit of God apply it to our souls. And no man can make your soul live. No man can make your soul alive. And the living God must do it all. And what a great salvation is this, eh? Free and sovereign grace. And because the living God, the God the Father, chose his people and determined to save them, to work out every part of that salvation. And that is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Yeah, it is by power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but not by fleshly power. So he begins with the sinner. A sinner does not begin with God, as we are so often told by those who say it is easy to turn over a new leaf. The Lord God begins with his people. He brings them to a knowledge of sinnership. He brings them to a revelation of a precious Christ in his salvation. And that is regeneration. And that is justification. The last sentence. He brings them to a revelation of the precious Christ in his salvation. That is regeneration. That is justification. He teaches them to pray. He keeps their soul alive. And as they turn into bypath meadow, he leads them back into that straight and narrow path. He leads them by the right way, that they may come to the city of habitation. Now what an infinite mercy to be found within that blessed election of grace. For you shall endure to the end if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the exercise is mine? Is he my God? Is that precious man, the God-man, my Jesus? But there will be not only those exercising your heart. There will be a determination. A determination that you shall have answers to them. It is the Spirit of God working in your soul that creates that. That is living communication with the other part, that blessed head. And it is the body endeavoring again and again to get closer, to consummate the union with the glorious head. Now, oh blessed family, precious Jesus, this is living reality. And do you know anything of it, beloved? I'm not asking of you something. I'm asking you, do you know Christ? And are you known by him? That's the point. For ye are bought with the price, the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleansed from all sin. Now may the Lord bless his own word, and his name shall have the praise. Amen. Let us pray, O Lord, that we may come to thy mercy seat as a lost sinner, because we are lost by nature, and after grace we remain helpless in ourselves. Let us find grace in thy sight, like the woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, found grace in thy eyes. O Lord, be the after preacher of thy own word. Thou hast said that thy word will not return empty to thee. O Lord, be with us in the coming week, and keep us from accidents, keep us from sin, but let us find grace at thy side in all our circumstances. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Praise God from
one and Holy Ghost. Beloved, let us finish with prayer. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.